Thank you, Nathan and Nikki. Amen. Well, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. We're there in that 13th chapter. We've come to these verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. This is a passage that is kind of a summation, kind of puts in capsule form many of the things that has been presented to us in the book of Hebrews. We have taken in from this this statement here, we've taken and we've been kind of made a series of topical messages. We looked at the God of peace, that first one. We noted that there are three areas of peace that the Lord supplies. There is that peace with God, and what a blessing it is we can have peace with our God. There's that peace with God. And then we looked at the peace of God, that wonderful peace that the Lord plants within us as we have that peace of God that he says passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then we recognize that he gives us an eternal peace as we're there to be with the Lord forever. Last week, we looked at the second phrase, God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. We looked at the God of life. We looked at the aspects recognizing that life has come from God. It came as a creative act of God, and recognizing that God is life, even that he is the essence of life. And looking at death, we recognize that that is a separation from life. And yet, as he talks about the resurrection, because God is the God of life, because he is the God of life, it was no a problem at all in any way for Jesus Christ to be raised from the dead, because the resurrection is by the power of God. Because of that, because he lives, we also shall live. And we recognize the scriptures reveal to us that resurrection for us is a promise of God, the God of life. And so as we have looked at those, I'd like to come to that next phrase that we have in this 20th chapter, and that is the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. A shepherd. What does it mean that God is the great shepherd of the sheep? Last year, my wife and I, having had the opportunity to travel through Greece and much of the country that the Apostle Paul traveled. It was interesting as we got off the main roads and the GPS took us up over the mountainsides and places that most people don't go when they go to Greece. And we wondered if we should have been there a little bit, but we made it all right. But one of the things that we saw was shepherds with the sheep. As they didn't have the fences and they weren't fenced in, it was much like it would have been back in that time that the Lord Jesus was here, and that is when there were just the shepherds out with their flock of sheep, leading them about, watching over and protecting their flocks. So when he says that our God is the great shepherd of the sheep, what does that mean? Well, certainly our scriptures have been very clear to us in letting us know that His people are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And we are compared to sheep. In some ways, that might not be a very honoring thing for us to be called sheep, and yet, because we are the sheep of his pasture and he's the shepherd, it is a great privilege for us to be and for us to recognize that relationship that we have and need with him. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, remember that passage, "Know ye that he is God. It is he that hath made us. It is not we ourselves, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He has made us. He has created us. And what a blessing it is that we can be called his people, even as we looked at being able to having peace with God. We are able to be called his people as he has called us unto himself. The Lord made it very clear that he is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, remember he said, "I am the good shepherd." And then he said, "The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." And he went on and there in John 10, and he told us, he said, "He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf cometh, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep." I don't know how many of those shepherds that we saw out there in Greece were hirelings and which ones really owned the sheep. But the Lord made it, he says, you know, that those that don't own them, and those that really don't care for the sheep, but they're just there for the hiring of it, they says they don't really care for them. But the Lord let us know that he cares. He said, he went on in John 10 and said, "As the Father," he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." And then he said, "Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I think that passage was talking about us. There was the Jewish people that called his own people. And then there was those, and then we have been grafted in and made his sheep, that we would be one with him. We could do well on dwelling on many aspects of his shepherding, him being these things that I've just mentioned, the good shepherd, giving his life for the sheep, and we know that he has done that. Probably the most complete scriptural descriptions that we would have of what that good shepherd does is encompassed in Psalm 23 that we read this morning. It's that one that was so well known by many. Today I'd like us to go there. I'd like us to go to Psalm 23 and examine just the various parts of this passage that we might meditate upon when he says the great shepherd. When he says the great shepherd, and we, and recognizing that there is no shepherd like our Lord. There is none that cares for us or understands us or is there to care for us as our Lord. And so this morning I'm just going to take us to Psalm 23 and just to go through this passage of Scripture. And I trust it'll be a time that will help you to see the greatness of your shepherd, of the one to whom you are one of his sheep, that he cares for you, that he has laid down his life for you, not as a hireling, but as one who owns them and one who loves and cares for you. And so that's what we will look at as we look at this psalm. Psalm 23. The psalmist starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." And as David penned this psalm, what a joy and blessing it was for him to just make that statement. The Lord is the one that's over me. The Lord is the one that is shepherding me. The Lord is my shepherd. And then in the end of that verse and the first of the second verse, "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, there in that phrase, those two phrases there, we see the shepherd as one that is there supplying, being there to supply every need. That first statement, "I shall not want," could probably an encompassing statement of the rest of what is there in Psalm 23. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. The Lord knows your need. Isn't it something to know that the Lord knows what your need is? You belong to Him. You can trust Him because He made you. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. And so David, as he began the penning of this psalm, he said, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, David went through many trials in life. And it's obvious David, in penning this, was not saying, "I never had need to call out for help because the Lord just made everything so easy for me." That's not what he's saying. But a recognition that all of what was really needed, the Lord provided. Of course, we've heard that sometimes we get our needs and our wants mixed up, and we have to come back and recognize the need. But David had that confidence in the Lord. He had that confidence that the Lord would supply. The Lord, "I shall not want." And then it's like he illustrates it with the second phrase when he says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, sometimes we don't think that the Lord is leading us where the best place is. Sometimes we question the Lord. I think of the sheep that are following the shepherd, and when they go off to go one way or another, and he brings them back because he has taken them someplace. They think, "Oh, this looks good over here. This looks good over here." But he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." The Lord leads us through the dry places to places of supply. I think of the passage in Luke that says when the Lord talked of those that were not trusting in Him, and He talked about the food and the clothing, as well as the passage in Matthew chapter 6. But he says, "All these things do the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knows that you have need of these things." You know, the Lord knows what your needs are. He knows so completely. The shepherd's sheep are able to lie down and sleep. David said in Psalm 3, we looked at Psalm 3 on Wednesday night as we've been looking through the life of David some, In Psalm 3 and verse 5, David said, I laid me down and slept. That's a passage that was in the midst of great trouble that David was going through, a time when there was the thousands of the forces of his son Absalom that was after him when he was trying to take his life. But because of his confidence in the Lord, David said, I lay down and slept. The psalmist here, David, could say, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. What a blessing. David was able to trust in the Lord and knowing that this is what the Lord supplies his need. The Lord understood his need, so he's supplying it. As we come to the next phrase here, he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd understands his sheep. He knows what troubles them. As the shepherd knows his sheep, and certainly what I understand is that sheep are fearful of moving water. Some of you would have to that have dealt with sheep would have to help. I've been around a lot of animals in my life, but sheep was one of them. I never was around too much, but I understand that they need to drink where the water is calm, and so the shepherd here leads to the place of quiet waters. You know, the Lord understands your very nature. He understands you particularly. You know, sometimes you go to the doctor, he puts you in a class with everybody else. Deborah talks about down in Mexico with their great government health care, that those that are under that, she says, when they go in, whatever it is that month, that's what you're going to be treated for. Whatever you go for, whatever your symptom, it doesn't make much difference. They're going to give you the medicine that they think you need for what they think that you might have, because that's kind of what's going around. Isn't it nice to know that our great shepherd knows us personally? In knowing that he made us, knowing that the Lord, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves, knowing that the Lord, your Lord, you know, your Lord has walked in your shoes. We looked at, and we began in Hebrews in chapter 4. It says we have a high priest that is touched with our infirmities. He's been in all points tempted like as we are. Your Lord knows you. He knows you completely. He knows your nature. He knows your innermost being. And so when I see this statement about he leadeth me beside the still waters, you see, I wouldn't have known to take a sheep beside the still waters. I'd have said, "Hey, there's water. Drink. You know, don't worry about that. The water's rushing by," because I wouldn't have understood that. But our Lord knew that. Our Lord knows you, and He knows the particulars about you. He knows the particulars of me, and I can come to the Lord, and though nobody else would understand, the Lord would understand. So he leads me. The great shepherd leads me beside the still waters. Then, what's the next statement? He restoreth my soul. Restoreth. Gives an indication that there's something that's been, but it's not there. What happens when we sin and we go against our Lord? We need that fellowship restored, don't we? We need that. We need to be able to come back to Him. We need that restored. And I've talked to folks and sometimes they feel like, well, I did this, and boy, the Lord could never forgive me. And they go on not recognizing the promises of God. And I have in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can have fellowship with God. We can have that fellowship returned. He can lift the burden that we have of our sin. As we've been, again, Wednesday nights have been a blessing, just looking briefly at some of these things and of David. One of those passages of Scripture is in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a passage that expresses to us, what David had to come to in bringing his own confession, his confession to the Lord, and that is the restoration of his soul in fellowship with God. You go to Psalm 51, and you see David coming and confessing his sin to the Lord. He comes and seeking that the Lord's washing him, and as he's acknowledging his sin before the Lord, he doesn't make excuse for it, but he goes on in that passage and he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David went for some time until he really confessed his sin before the Lord. David had lost that joy of his salvation. He recognized the need from him being restored to fellowship with the Lord. Do you go through times like that? Instead of keeping short accounts with the Lord, instead of confessing to the Lord immediately when there has been that has been wrong, and turning from that you harbor it, you try to justify it, you hold things within that need to be let go and passed on, and you lose that joy. There's no joy in your salvation. You're being a disobedient child. Sometimes it's easy with children to see what their spirit's like. I've watched some of the children. I've watched them come in, and sometimes you see them come in with a bad attitude. You can see them just frowning. You can see it. Most of us have learned to kind of cover that up. We just kind of paint the right face on, but inside it's the same, isn't it? Inside it's the same. And there needs to be that joy. There needs to be that restoration. And what a blessing it was that David could say here, He restoreth my soul. He was able to return to the joy of his salvation. He was able to see the working of the Lord in his life. He restoreth my soul. We have a great shepherd. A great shepherd that cares for us. A great shepherd that understands our need. And a great shepherd that will restore us. He just doesn't throw us out. When we've done something wrong, but he might discipline us, and he does various things to bring us back to our senses and to bring us back to where we are. He restoreth my soul. And then the next thing he says there is, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, the way the Lord leads is always right. His leading is to conform us to the image of Himself. He is preparing us, and we've seen this in other passages, He is preparing us to be His bride. We are to be a trophy of the grace of God. He leads in the paths of righteousness. And he does that. He does that for His namesake. He does that because we're going to be His bride. We're called the bride of Christ. He's wanting us to present us to the Father, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, how our shepherd is leading us. His leading is always right, and His leading is always for our best. Sometimes we follow in the tempted by things that Satan would put in our way. Sometimes we're tempted by things of our own flesh and our own desires, and instead of the ways of our God. Satan's leading and the leading of our own flesh leads to destruction. The scripture lets me know that Satan is a hater of my soul. And in my flesh is no good thing. But what's God's work? It's totally opposite, is it not? God's work is totally opposite. If we're in Christ, He's made us a new creation. He's created us unto good works. He is there to lead us in righteousness, lead us in ways that are right, that we might do those things that are righteous. Oh, do you follow the leading of the Lord? The shepherd and His leading and His guiding is always to lead the sheep to the right place. The good shepherd, the shepherd that cares for His sheep. And yet how often do we rebel against our God? How often when there is something where He is leading us, we see it in God's Word, we know this is what the Lord wants, and sometimes in the foolishness of our own hearts, we kind of set our face and say, my way. How foolish can we be? How foolish can we be when we have a great shepherd? A great shepherd that knows us and cares for us and is desiring to lead us in the way of righteousness. In the way of righteousness, not only for our own good, but that we can be presented as the trophy, as the grace of our God unto the Father. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yes, there's that guide to holiness that He gives. And then that passage that is oftentimes we look at as He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There is the forever presence that we have of our shepherd. The Lord has promised His abiding presence. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We saw that here in this 13th chapter. When He said in the 5th verse, let your conversation be without covetousness, 13th chapter of Hebrews, if we're... and be content with such things as ye have, for He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. The Lord Jesus, before He left here the earth with His disciples, He said to them, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Of course, there He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says another like myself, so the Holy Spirit would come and be with them. The Lord has promised never to leave us. He's not going to go off. Scary thing it is when you've got a guide that's going to take you through someplace and you look up and the guide is gone and where is he? What am I going to do? Where is he? But the Lord says, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Yes, and this passage has comforted God's people throughout the generations because he'll go with us through death. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable, but we have the Lord. We have the Lord to go with us. We have the eternal presence of our God, never to leave us, never to forsake us, even when we go through death. What a blessing it is, our great shepherd. The next phrase, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod established the authority of the shepherd. It was used as discipline for the erring sheep. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights. He corrects us. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Oh, the many times that our Lord chastens us is because he loves us. Is because he's wanting to lead us in the paths of righteousness, and we would seek to go our own way. And so the rod and the staff. The staff is a word there for support. It's that that was used for rescue, used for guidance. Here we have the shepherd's staff. It's used as a rod, and it's used as a staff. And the comfort, it says, they comfort me. I had that little, I think I must have taken it out of my Bible. I talked about it a week or two ago. A little cartoon that showed the little boy up on the fence. It was afraid he was going to fall off and saying, I wish mommy had come out and tell me I shouldn't be doing this. You know, there's great comfort. There's great comfort in the shepherd that is there to say, don't go that way. You know, that's a place of danger. And so the shepherd will use the rod as they go on and cause it and make it to come back. He will use that staff as a place for support, for guidance. David said, thy word is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. The staff of the shepherd is used to bring one alongside and bring it back to where they need to be. You don't think of the rod as being comforting, but yes, it is comforting to know the Lord cares enough to discipline, isn't it? No chastening for the present seems joyous. No trials seem joyous. It doesn't seem joyous at first, but the peaceable fruits of righteousness that it brings. So there's that loving discipline that the great shepherd gives. And then, what's the next phrase? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, I see this as provision when there appears no help available. It's like it's the secret working of God. There's a in Psalm 78 when it's talking about the psalmist is relating back to Israel and how they went to, and they were grumbling against the Lord when there wasn't food. And it says, yea, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They look around and there's no food. And they begin to grumble against the Lord and says, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Well, did he furnish a table for them in the wilderness? He did. He provided for them where there appeared to be no food. In Psalm 3, David was saying there, many will say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But was there help for David in God? Yeah, there was help. I remember the passage where Elisha was the prophet in Samaria when it was under siege by Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. You remember that story back in 2 Kings chapter 7 where Elisha makes the statement. I mean, there's no food in Samaria, a huge city, and the food has run out. There is no food, and they are surrounded with the Syrian army, and they've been under siege, and they can't go anywhere. And Elisha makes this statement. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And the man that came from the king to Elisha said this, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? If the Lord would make such a thing in heaven, could it be? He said, there's no way that's going to happen. Remember, Elisha said to him, well, you'll see it tomorrow, but you won't eat any of it. The Lord is able to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It's almost like a picture. You're surrounded with your enemies. They think that they've got you. They think there's no hope for you. And it's like you're sitting there and the Lord just brings down and puts out a feast right before you in the midst of it. That's the picture that he's given. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. We have a great shepherd that cares for his sheep. He knows you and he knows your needs, and he can provide for you. He can provide for you in the midst of a time when there is no other provision. And then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. Of course, oil was used at times as the Samaritan that was caring for the man that was robbed with some medicinal value. But here we have, I believe it's that, and we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. It's anointing of those in a place of honor, recognized possibly as royalty, even as Mary took and anointed the Lord Jesus there. But in the Eastern culture, this was something that was done in honoring, it was a special anointing of the head and sometimes the feet as well. But he said, thou anointest my head with oil. The Lord, treats us as his sons. The Lord treats us, he says, not as a servant, but as a son. And as I look at this passage, I recognize that David is saying the great shepherd is is putting you in a special place. Thou anointest my head with oil. And the great shepherd honoring his sheep. And then, and you come to the next phrase. He said, my cup runneth over. There is great joy in our God. There's an overflowing joy that God gives to his own. The great shepherd brings a joy to his sheep. The joy of the Lord my strength. In the Psalms, David said, then will I go to the altar of God, unto my God, my exceeding joy. I will praise the Lord upon the harp. He says, I will come to God with exceeding joy. In Peter, talking of Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Lord has given us, as our great shepherd, a joy in the heart that no one can take away. My cup runneth over, my time runneth over. The next statement there is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The undeserved kindness that we have from our God, surely goodness and mercy. You know, if it were not for the mercies of our God, we'd all be consumed. But we live under the mercies of our God. And as our great shepherd, he says, David is able to say, goodness, the goodness of my God and the mercy of my God, that's going to follow me all the days of my life. You've got a great shepherd, like no other shepherd. And that last statement, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The great shepherd has an eternal home for us. We think of the passage in Thessalonians. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said when he went to prepare a place for us in John 14, he said that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord has prepared an eternal home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm, I was reminded of the psalm that Mom said that her and Dad read together before that next morning. Dad passed away, went to be with the Lord. But it's in Psalm 16:11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The one that is the sheep of the great shepherd has that promise of the eternal home, wherein the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And there are the pleasures of God forevermore. That great shepherd of the sheep, we have the greatest shepherd that could ever be. We are the sheep of his pasture. May we recognize him as the shepherd that he is. Shall we pray? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for this great psalm that declares what you are as the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you, Lord, for your great care for us. Lord, help us to be a people that are trusting and following thee, and Lord, not rebelling against thee, but seeking continually to yield unto you. Lord, that we might be led in those paths of righteousness, and that, Lord, that we look forward to that day that we're presented unto the Father. Oh, Lord, may that work that you're desiring to do in our lives be accomplished as we thank you for that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take your hymnals, if you will, and